Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right, you are now talking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. We got Elijah Campbell making it happen.
What up?
Bringing that chocolate sound that melts in your ear. If you don't know, you better ask somebody. The Quiet Storm with Downtown Tony Brown. That's where I got that from. Anytime I get to emulate him, I'll do that. But all jokes aside, man, we got a great show for you. It's time to go into the trenches. So, you know, we're going to talk shop with Tulsa offensive lineman Tyler Smith. He's a guy that's getting a lot of first-round mention. He may be there at 26. Mel Kiper Jr. in his most recent mock had him going 24 to the Cowboys. We'll talk to Tyler Smith just about that nasty attitude he has. If you haven't watched him, that's something that you'll see as soon as you do finally watch him. So we got that. And then we're going to bring you another guy. You know, this guy right here, man, he brings that gas. He got that gas. And his name is Isaiah Weston, Northern Iowa wide receiver. So we're going to have that for you. Man, I'm excited about this show. You know what? I'm not even going to talk anymore. We're going to go right into one of my favorite segments to do. What time is it?
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
The music fades. The lights dim. Here we go. Do, 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 do. And now, starting at small forward for your San Antonio Spurs from Arizona, number 32, Sean Elliott.
And now, starting for the Tennessee Titans at tight end, we have Algie Crumpler.
Whoa. All right, since you want to do that.
What's up, dude? How you doing, man?
Yeah, that's right. Cut me off, because I was smooth about to call you Parrish Cox. But we're going to leave it alone.
Hey, man, what's this rumors going on? They're trying to trade AJ Brown, man.
Lord have mercy.
Can we put that to rest?
Yeah, put it to rest. So here's the deal, right? Let me say this. My teammate, ESPN NFL Nation, New York Jets reporter Rich Shimini, he did a post, and he does kind of like a round table, like news around the Jets post. And it got taken completely out of hand. And all he did was he said, and this came after the Jets lost out on the Tyreek Hill situation, that trade. And he just said, well, you know what? Expect the Jets to keep a beat on the 49ers with Deebo Samuel, the Titans with A.J. Brown, and the Seahawks with D.K. Metcalf. Simply because these guys were entering the final years of their contract, none of these guys were first-round picks, amazingly so. And that means at the end of this year, if they don't have a deal, they're set to be free agents. So he just was like, hey, look, man, pick number 10, you know, and high draft picks. They're going to monitor that and see if they could, you know, make up for what they lost with Tyreek Hill. That's it. But then the problem is people cannot grasp this word called context.
I know.
And that's what happened there. A.J. Brown's not going to be traded. And speaking of A.J. Brown, shout him out. He has a pro camp June 18th,
uh-huh,
right here in Nashville. It's actually at Montgomery Bell Academy. You need
Is
to
it?
Be aware
I
of that.
I
yes,
there.
Yeah. That's why I figured I mentioned it.
Buster.
Hey, look, do what you do. You know what I mean? But you could go to ajbrown.com to register for that. Make sure you check it out, man. You want to have your kids spend a day with one of the top receivers in the league. That's a way to do that. Hey, AJ, I need that check. But what do you think about that? You know, the whole idea, the trade and everything.
I, I mean, I got mixed emotions. I mean, because the thing about it is the Tennessee Titans have a lot of holes to fill. And I'm just saying, I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm going to kind of play the other side of it. But in the grand scheme of it, I don't think they're ever going to trade him because Mike Vrabel wants him to be there. But if a team came to me and said this, I'm going to give you two. First, I'm going to give you our draft pick, give you our next year draft pick. I'll give you a second, a third, and a fourth. Now the light bulb goes off to say, okay, you know what? I understand that A.J. Brown's a great player, but now you can get some more great players to really fill the holes that you need. We need some linemen. We need some receivers. You know, we need a lot of pieces that we need to put this team together. So in that case, I would do it. But on the flip side, this is the guy that you want on your team. The offense wouldn't be the offense if they didn't have A.J. Brown.
Man, listen, you talking about trade A.J. Brown?
No, I said.
Hey, I got one response, man. My response is real simple, too.
What's that? Blow the whistle.
Blow the whistle. I'm blowing the whistle on you, man. I'm blowing flag on the play. Flag on the play. Not illegal contact. Illegal thought. Not process, but illegal thoughts, man. You can't do that.
I mean, God, I'm good. Man, But I'm just thinking because I'm gonna flip it on you again. Why would the Kansas City Chiefs trade Tyreek Hill? Understand the contract situation. You know, even Adams from the Green Bay Packers. Those are the two best wide receivers in the league. Mm-hmm. So when those two guys are getting traded, nobody's expendable. That's kind of what I'm saying. And I know you make a great, great point, and I need to blow the whistle on myself. but at the end of the day, if a team says, you know what, I'm going to give you this, it's going to make your light bulb go off and say, you know what, I understand that A.J. Brown is one of the top five receivers in the league, but now I can get a top 10 receiver and also fill a different holes. Now it starts to be intriguing.
If they ask me that, I'm going to do one thing. We got jokes today, but now I can see what you're saying.
If it's
the 10th overall this year, high pick next year, like a first round next year, a 2 and a 4, I mean, you definitely have to consider it. You'd be foolish not to. So, you know, all jokes aside, that is something that I would think about, but it's not likely to happen. We'll put it that way. And so looking at what is likely to happen, what's going to have to happen is this team finding a receiver to complement A.J. Brown and Robert Woods once Robert Woods eventually comes back from the ACL. So let's look at that, right? And you got Westbrook Ikhinne. He's the guy that's in the mix. But a recent mock by Mike Tannenbaum, a friend of the show, he's been on here multiple times talking up Ryan Tannehill. So naturally he's going to mock a weapon for Ryan Tannehill to the Titans at 26, and he put Treylon Burks as the option there. What do you think of that? And if you think there's a better receiver that may be there, we'll entertain the Chris Olave. We'll entertain Jahan Dotson. We'll put Sky Moore, who you got to speak to. Mm-hmm. We'll put those three in there. And you know what? Just for the sake of making it interesting, let's put Jameson Williams, even though he's injured. We'll put those four in there. What do you think of Treylon Burks as a Titan?
You know, I like Treylon Burks, but just watching him, I think he's still raw at route running.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he told me that too.
Yeah, he's kind of raw, and that's not a knock on him, and that's not a disrespect. It's, you know, understanding how to run routes, understanding how to use your eyes, understanding how to do those things. When we're talking about a guy that can go get the ball and catch the ball at the highest point, absolutely. But now you got Chris Olave. Now you got, you know, Garrett Wilson that are polished route runners, polished guys in their technique. So the guy that I would take out of that bunch that you just named, I'm going to go with Olave. But the reason why I'm going to go with Olave is because you have A.J. Brown on the outside. You got Westbrook on the other side. But then now you got a slot player that can take the top off the defense in the slot and catch those seams and run after the catch. So that's the kind of, you know, the situation that I would do. I'm not saying that it might be the best, but you're getting a speed guy. You're getting a polished receiver. You got a receiver that can come in and not just play, but be an impact player at that position.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I think Olave, I'll agree with you. I think he is the best fit out of those guys. Man, it would be pretty nice to see Jameson Williams in the lineup, but that's something.
He was hurt.
Yeah. Well, Adam Schefter, he recently posted a video of him doing kind of like side hops. I don't know what you would call it. It was high knees sideways. Right. And he's doing that, which is crazy. You know, he was doing it last week. But still, yeah, I think you need somebody that could be impactful immediately, as opposed to having to wait on that. And Olave is that guy for me. And the thing I like about Olave, and I asked him about it at the Combine, just about, you know, having that understanding of being on the field with other guys who are premier receivers and just having that patience and that ability to still – You know, not press and just take advantage of opportunities when they come your way. You know what I mean? And I think that's something that he will have to do, and I think it would help him moving on to the Titans or to any other team in the league.
But, you know, here's the funny thing is you asked me last week if I had a chance, if we had a chance to get Garrett Wilson or Chris Olave, and in my opinion, Garrett Wilson is the better receiver, but we're talking about a better fit.
Right.
You know, the better fit is Chris Olave because he can play the slot and also play, you know, different positions. You got Garrett Wilson is more of an outside guy that can run the digs, that can run the, you know, the comebacks, the curls, and the yards as a catch. He specializes in that. But as being a good fit for the Tennessee Titans and fitting your identity of your team, Olave is a guy that I will pick if the Tennessee Titans were picking.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned that, right, with Garrett Wilson, because, you know, the player that he reminds me of is Robert Woods. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So now you're duplicating what you have. I mean, look, if I was an OC, like, yeah, you could give me three Robert Woodses and I'll be happy with it. You know, I'm not saying that, but I think Olave is the better fit. But I want to get back to Treylon Burks, and I want to ask you a question about having that slot, that size in the slot, right? Like that power forward as a slot. And my guy Emory Hunt from Football Game Plan and CBS Sports, a lot of times, like when he talked about receivers, he has a slot receiver and he has an inside receiver, and he refers to the inside receiver as one of those guys who plays a lot like Marquise Colston, who, you know, Elijah suddenly pops up and he smiles because that brings back good memories. But what do you think of Treylon Burks in the slot for the Titans, giving that security blanket, that pseudo tight end, just detached all the time, that Marquise Colston used to give to Drew Brees?
Yeah, but see, Treylon Burks is more of an outside guy. He doesn't have that quick twitch. You know, you got to have that quick twitch to change directions, because now you get in there and you have to run those choice routes. When I say choice routes, it all depends on what the linebacker's playing. You're playing inside or outside. Mm-hmm. And you got to use your hips. You got to sink them down. And he's a big guy. I mean, what, he's 6'3", 225. I mean, he's a gigantic dude. So that doesn't mean you can't run routes, but you got to sink. You got to turn. You got to use your eyes. You got to do so many things that I think that he will struggle doing that if he doesn't know how to run routes on the outside.
I'm going to tell you a guy who will be pitcher perfect for that position.
Who that is?
Christian Watson from North Dakota State.
You was telling me about him.
That guy, if you want an inside receiver that fills those needs that you and the skill set that you just mentioned, that's him.
Yeah.
Even though he's 6'4", he's quick. He's twitchy. He's a former track runner. This dude has vertical gas. He would be perfect for the Titans as that big body receiver that also gives you the vertical threat. Now, he honestly is more of like he could play all the positions, actually, X or Z or the slot. But, I mean, that guy would be perfect. But that's going to require a trade back, like to the back end of the first round, high part of the second. Takes two to tango. We'll see how that works. But, I mean, I think they'll be in good shape receiver-wise as far as guys to choose from.
Oh, yeah, but it's kind of like this. You know, you have big guys like that. You remember when Megatron came into the league?
Mm-hmm.
He struggled running routes, but when he understood and understand how to have chest underneath, how to lie with your eyes, that's when his game, you know, really took off. So, I agree with you. You get some of these big guys and put them in the slot, and they understand how to run these choice routes. They understand how to set guys up, you know, according to the coverage or whatever, if it's a linebacker on you. So it's just understanding and using your skill set to benefit the team.
Yeah, no, I agree. So speaking of building a team, right, even though, you know, receiver is something that we like to focus on, it starts in the trenches. And from what I understand, you found a guy that you really like. And that's funny. And ironically, he goes to the same school as one of our guests on this show by the name Isaiah Weston. That's another receiver you got to check him out. You talk about outside, like an X. He's a pure, prototypical X.
Nice.
Oh, man, he would be perfect there. But nevertheless, Northern Iowa has a tackle by the name of Trevor Penning. Tell me a little bit about him, what you've seen.
Dude, he's a dog. You know, Mike Vrabel and J-Rob always talk about we're picking guys that fits the identity of our team. Number one, physical. Number two, smart. Number three, versatile. Great discipline. And another trait that they have is nasty. Hey, Mr. Penning, I'm going to call him Mr. Penning. He is nasty. I mean, he's physical. And you know that he's nasty because after every play, everybody wants to fight him. That just shows you because he's throwing everybody around. I watched a little bit of the Senior Bowl when they were practicing, you know, a couple of days. I mean, the Senior Bowl was a while ago, but I watched he was in the Senior Bowl a couple of days ago. Man, everybody wanted to fight him after the play because he's throwing people around. He's nasty, and then he walks up like, well, what did I do? No, he is in their face, and that's the kind of guy you want. And we talked about it off the air, man, is, you know, who does he remind you of? And the first person you said was John Runyon, and that's exactly who I thought he was. John Runyon, you know, he's nice, but when he gets in those trenches, he's going to try to choke you, and that's the kind of guy that, the Tennessee Titans want.
Yeah, it definitely a Runyon type of player, man. And, it's funny, I got to see him all those years when I was – up in Philly, you know, watching him and Trey Thomas. My goodness, Trey Thomas. Let me not get off subject. But that dude, he's so fun to talk to when it comes to discussing that tackle position, offensive line, period. But, yeah, man, Penning is something else. And one of the things that kind of made me mad about him, though, during one of the practices at the Senior Bowl, he grabbed a guy and he threw him, and the guy was kind of rolling like a barrel going down the hill. And he ran into Desmond Ridder, man. I'm like, hey, whoa, time out, man. You know, don't hurt my quarterback. You know what I mean? Don't hurt my quarterback. I understand you want to be feisty and do that stuff, but don't hurt my quarterback.
But just imagine, TD, you have a guy like Taylor Lewan and Penning on the same team.
Disgusting.
Come on, man. Disgusting. Two dudes who are nasty, who are mean, and who are going to get in your face and act like they didn't do anything, but then you stand about a pile that's going to run in your face. I know you're not supposed to do that, but sometimes you want that grit. Sometimes you want that toughness. Sometimes you want that guy on your team that's going to start some stuff, but if he was on the opposite team, you would hate him.
Well, and that's the thing, right? I asked him, you know, about offensive linemen that he really likes to watch. Taylor Lewan naturally came up, and it's funny, they asked him to be on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast, so we'll have to keep a lookout for that.
Oh, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, but you talk about that nastiness that he has, and another thing that I asked him specifically was, okay, how do you kind of – you got to channel that, right? I mean, like, you want to be nasty, you want to be a dog. How do you channel that so that it doesn't lead to a bunch of penalties? Because you can't hurt your team, too.
Right.
And he mentioned about – you know, being he said it was kind of like he envisions himself and the other offensive linemen as dogs on a leash, and the quarterback has the leash. And when, you know, he lets go of the ball, you know, when the ball's hiked, he lets go of the leash and they just run out, but then they stop on the whistle. I thought that was pretty funny.
That is, but man, you want somebody like that. But still, I think Mike Vrabel's going to talk and say, listen, you can be that aggressive player, you can be that nasty player, but don't be a selfish player.
Right.
And when you be a selfish player and you make it about you and you want to go fight people, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that when the game is on the line, you look at Coach Vrabel and say, run to my side because I'm running through somebody's lips.
Yeah. Hey, so instead of run left, it's going to be run right, I guess.
Right.
Just run, period. That's the mindset. And, hey,
absolutely.
I get it, but, you know, you gotta get absolutely that ball to A.J. You know what I mean? You got to get that ball to Robert Woods. You got to get that ball to Austin Hooper. We didn't get into that, so let's close on that.
Okay.
I don't remember asking you about Austin Hooper, so I'll take the opportunity to do that now before we get out of here. Well, what are your thoughts on adding him?
I think it's a great pickup because the reason why I say it's a great pickup is because now you have a pure route runner at tight end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you had Delanie Walker gone, you have Jonnu Smith gone, those guys can run routes, know how to set people up and run after the catch. Now you got Hooper that can do the exact same thing. The only thing that I'm a little bit concerned about is the blocking. You know, I guess that's the reason why they kept Swain, because I guess he's going to be blocking. But he needs to improve on his blocking and be more physical at the point of attack. But other than that, you get this guy in space. He catches the ball. He runs routes. He lies with his eyes. He understands the holes. He's going to make this offense better. He's going to make A.J. Brown better. He's going to make Henry better. He's going to make that whole team better because he's going to keep the chains moving.
Yeah. There you go, right there. So we'll see how the offense starts to come together. You know,
absolutely,
it was a lot of panic going on in the first week of free agency.
You was panicking? What they doing, boss?
What they doing? What's going on? What's going on? We're out here like Marvin Gaye singing "What's Going On," talking about "Oh Mercy, Mercy Me." Now, all jokes aside, you know they slow walked it, but then
absolutely
in the end they went ahead and they did what they needed to do, and they even have some cap space, especially June 1st. You know that'll give them time to have that 9.5 to come off the books, and they'll be able to sign their their draft picks also. So it works pretty well for them. So hey, man. Week after week, this is what we do. We'll have to get you on, get you in with one of these receiver interviews we have coming up, too.
Well, we crushed it last week. Let's do it, man.
No doubt.
All right. Appreciate you, boss.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. I had to get this music simply because our next guest, he's from Minnesota. He wears purple when he was in college at Northern Iowa. So we'll let that Prince ride out a little bit. Yeah. We're going to bring in Northern Iowa wide receiver Isaiah Weston. Isaiah, what's going on, man?
Not much. Just down here in Northern Iowa still training.
Oh, yeah, you're still training. Okay, that's what's up. I know you had a pro day recently. I guess we could start with that. How did everything go there?
Pretty well. I just did the skill drills and the L drill and the shuttle. So it was a pretty light day for me.
Nice. I guess you just stuck on, relied on that 4.41 official that you ran at the combine, huh?
Yeah, I was stuck. Yeah, I'm sticking with that one. So.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, that's one of the things. So here in Nashville, you know, I talk a lot about draft prospects, obviously, that match the Titans. And I firmly believe that you are a match. And, you know, whenever I'm asked about receivers, your name comes up just simply because I love what you do vertically as far as being able to get down the field. And it's good to have, like, a voice to the name that I'm always mentioning for these listeners. And we'll just get into a couple numbers from the combine that I want to showcase. You know, at 6'3", 214 pounds, you ran 4.41, 20 reps on the bench, a 40-inch vertical. That shows the explosiveness. So I guess we'll start there. How did you develop the athleticism and ability to, you know, shine like that at the combine?
Well, really, the all those abilities I've always had. I mean, the vertical, the speed, really, I've always had since high school. So training was really just defining it and cleaning up all the rough edges. So the 40 was probably my best improvement right there. But the vertical, the broad, and even the bench were something I've always been able to do, just because, just genetics, I'd say, though. But yeah, that's pretty much what it went down.
So were your parents sprinters or anything, or athletes? You said genetics.
Yeah, my dad played. He was a quarterback, wide receiver, and DB for Bemidji State. They're a D2 football school in Minnesota. So he's originally from Florida, though, but he came up here to play ball, though. But he was always fast. He ran like a 4.43, I believe. So athleticism was always a big part of the family. And he was, I think he started dunking when he was in eighth grade, and that's when I started too. So
nice. And whenever I'm asked about you, that's the first thing I say. You're a pure vertical threat, and the numbers show, right? You averaged 23.9 yards per catch last year. We'll get into a couple games where I saw more than just that vertical part, because I don't want to sell you as a one-trick pony. So we'll get into that. But let's just talk about just the process of you getting to Northern Iowa, because it's funny, because I discovered you by watching – I was watching Trevor Penning. You know what I mean? Yep. And I'm watching this guy dunk defensive lineman, and then I said, well, let me look at the All-22 part of it too, and I just kept seeing you make plays down the field. So let's start, just go back to – when you first got to Northern Iowa. I know you started five games, 2017. How was that transition for you?
Transition was pretty smooth, honestly. The first year was really just getting comfortable with the offense. I redshirted. And then that 2017 season was really just getting my foot in the water. I played all 13 games, started five when one of our stars went down. So, really good learning period, because I was playing alongside Darius Fountain, who was with the Kansas City Chiefs, and he was drafted fifth round to the Colts. So I was around some pretty good people around my time there. So, but beginnings there were really good.
I love that. And then you had the knee injury, and that cost you the 2018 season. And you were limited in 2020. What did you miss the most? You know, when you were pulled away from the game. Obviously, 2020 wasn't your fault. Mm-hmm. That's just how things happened with COVID. But what did you miss the most?
From the 2018 injury, knee injury.
Yeah, we could start there.
Yeah. Probably the biggest thing was just being around the team and like practicing with them. When it happened, I was just rehabbing and lifting pretty much on my own. I didn't have to go to meetings, practices. I showed up for a little bit and like left. So, but definitely just not being around the team as much and like competing with all the guys, because that was ultimately why I'm there at college, is because of football and what it made me. So, but yeah, it's definitely being around the guys is the biggest thing, where I didn't have a lot.
And we're talking to Northern Iowa wide receiver Isaiah Weston. Isaiah, you came back though, right? You bounced back like a Super Bowl. 2019, second team All-American. You had a 1,000-yard season that year also, correct?
Yep, had a 1,000-yard season, averaged 24 yards catch. It was a season that I didn't think I'd get, honestly. I was just trying to map or do better than my freshman year, and I ended up just blowing the top off of everything. So it was a really cool – it was a really great season.
And then we fast forward. So you had 2020, you played, was it three, four games, I think it was. And then 2020, yeah. Go ahead.
No, yeah, just to play three, four games the spring season. Ended up with like a strain in my calf / shin, and then got COVID last game. So didn't really do much.
And then you came back in 2021 this past year, 23.9 yards per catch, 5 touchdowns. Obviously, the numbers are there. That's intriguing to NFL personnel people and scouts. But let's look at just some of the games, right? And I think the one that stands out to me, right, the Western Illinois game. You caught that pass in the flat. It was like a 3-5-yard pass. You turned it up into a 65-yard touchdown. So is there, for you, like, is there an art to just, you know, how you're able to transfer the actual speed? Because you were a track runner in high school as well. So is there a way that you're able to, like, an art to transferring that track speed to the football field? Because that doesn't transfer for all players.
Yeah, no, definitely. There's really, like, two gears I have. Is when I'm running routes and kind of in my wide receiver stance, keeping the shoulders low, hips are low, just so I'm just not giving any tells to the DB, though. But when I see green grass, open field, I turn into a sprinter. My shoulders are up. My hips are pointed forward. I'm complete, full speed, full gear, trying to gain as much grass as I can. So those are definitely two ways I run.
What did you run in high school? Like, what events?
So I did the 110 hurdles.
Okay.
4x1, 4x2, and I did long jump and high jump.
Okay. That's what's up, man. Good stuff. And I know you played basketball as well. What position there?
I was the center. I was the only 6'4 guy on the team, so they needed a post player. But I wanted to be a guard and drive and shoot some jump shots and a couple threes, though. But my career was just pretty much just dunking against Malayoub. So that was pretty much it.
Hey, man, that's what you're doing on the perimeter, right? The back shoulder, it transfers. So, you know, that worked out for you later.
Yeah, going over and mossing some guys, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You have that acrobatic catch, you know, ability. Have you ever watched the guy? I'll see how far back you could go. It's not that far. His name is Brandon Lloyd. He used to play for the Broncos and the 49ers. Have you ever watched him?
I have not, no.
If you get a chance, go to YouTube, type in Brandon Lloyd catches. And you talk about acrobatic catches. Like he that dude was like Gumby on the perimeter, man. He was one of the best deep threats. So that's something that you kind of you bring that to the table as well. Let's talk about the North Dakota State game as well, because, I mean, that to me, like, that was the game where I watched that and I said, yeah, this dude is 100% the truth. He's legit. And you and Christian Watson, you guys were going back and forth. You won't say it, but I will. With some better quarterback play, you probably could have had about 250, 300 yards. But You know, I know you won't say that, but just tell me about that game going into it. Why was that a game where, you know, you really seemed to rise above the competition?
No, absolutely. Whenever I get pushed in the corner, we go and play against a team like NDSU, who just won their 9th championship in the past, I don't know, 12 years. Those teams are going to get my best shot. And if you look back on all the career, on all the games that I've had years against them, they're probably one of my best games. So the way I prepare, the way I pick apart their defense, I do everything very, like, thoroughly and, like, anally. So when I go into those games, I make sure I can do everything I can for my team to give them the best shot. So going into that game, it was definitely they have a target on the back, and I'm trying to get the bullseye on them. So, but yeah.
Yeah. Hey, look, man, to be the best, you got to beat the best. And that's what you were working to do in that game, no doubt about it. And we're talking to Isaiah Weston, Northern Iowa, a wide receiver. Isaiah, when it comes to the bowl game, right, that you participated in, those games, how was that experience for you? What was it like getting to work with pro-level coaches? And, you know, how was some of the feedback that you got from them?
No, it was really good. Those experiences were really awesome. I was around guys that were playing, like, at schools that I only dreamt of going to. So being able to compete against them was really sweet. The coaches were, I mean, just networking. Chris Chambers. I'm probably going to go do some, like, minicamp training with him, though, too. I met him at the FLPA Bowl. He was a wide receiver coach. And just hearing their advice and everything, and, like, getting, like, the pointers from them, like, what works in the league, what to expect, and, like, everything was just way different than college. A lot of it's just, like, it's more in-depth. It's more technical. Mm-hmm. It's a lot to do with your craft, too. But it was a really great experience for all those bowl games that I participated in, and it really just gave me a real good taste of what to expect at that next level.
How was that feedback that you got? Because they were watching you, you know, one-on-ones and all of that, and it's designed for the receiver to win, but still, how was that feedback for you?
Feedback was really good. There was a lot that I definitely needed to work on. There was just, like, releases and just, like, working on my craft, like adding more variety to my route running and giving some at the top. So that was something I kind of lacked in when I was in there, though, but definitely been made aware and working on ever since, because I know that's how you create separation in NFL. I mean, it really doesn't matter if you're a 4-4 guy like me, if your craftsmanship, your intelligence on the field matches a 5-flat, then that's how fast you're going to be running on the field. So, but no, their advice is really good. I heeded all of them. I'm working on all of them. So I'm just trying to improve everything I can to be as beneficial to the team that picks me up. So,
yeah, that's something I wanted to ask you about. Just, you know, when it comes to going against press, against, you know, corners in the league, it's obviously different. But I feel that you can make that transition, but you know, what do you feel will be the challenges of press covers? Like, what challenge does that present?
Obviously, probably my explosiveness, my quickness and explosiveness. My first step isn't as quick as some of, like, the smaller guys or some of the fast receivers, though, because I'm a big receiver. I got long legs, so
right.
It takes me a bit to wind up. So, but it's definitely something where what I've been training for, like, the combine, working on, like, our quick explosive stuff, it's actually really helped. But being able to compete against NFL DBs, I mean, coming from the FCS, I mean, I'm a head taller than most of the guys. And at this level, they're all going to be 6 foot, pretty big, very physical, and just as fast. So I need to pull something out of my, arsenal to be able to create some separation. I'm all good.
I see you as more of an X receiver. You know, I think you could play the Z position, but I think the X is really natural for you just because of that, you know, responsibility of being that vertical guy. Is that something that you agree with, or where do you project yourself?
No, absolutely. I've always been the X throughout high school and college, but throughout my college career, I've been bounced back from Z. I played really every position, especially my years when I got older.
Mm-hmm.
There's younger guys below me when they're only taught to, or they only know the X or the Z. So just like last year, we had this X receiver behind me. He was a freshman. All he knew was the X. And I'm over here 6 years, and
I know the whole offense by like back of my hand. So whenever we get into a like 10 or 11 personnel, I'll go to Z or I'll go to the F or the Y, and then we can fill in more threats for wide receivers. So I don't mind moving around the field, need be, though, but definitely the X is definitely where I feel at home.
There you go. Isaiah, I can only talk about you so much, right, and explain your game so much when I'm on the air. Listeners are going to say, okay, well, tell me somebody whose game resembles Isaiah Weston's game, and that would be who?
For me, I've always grown up watching Randy Moss, being from Minnesota, watching Moss when I was younger, hearing Moss and all that stuff, and then Calvin Johnson, another big receiver, big body receiver that can go up and make plays. Those two right there probably were where I just get my gameplay from, where I just try to copy it, like everything they do. They both can stretch the field, and that's something I've been able to do. So definitely those two guys right there is someone where I try to match my game.
And I know it's important to you to be a selfless player. What does that mean? Like, how can you verbalize being a selfless player, and how much does that transfer to being able to influence the game, not as a guy catching 50-yard bombs, but a guy springing a running back to run 50 yards for a touchdown?
No, yeah, absolutely. It's definitely the way you block, and when if your teammates catch the ball, whether it's the running back or your wide receiver, it's not a, just stand there. It's no, go find a work, go find a body, get in their vicinity, take out one less guy. So if they break a tackle, they have a gap that they can get through. So the job's not done, even if the ball's not in my hand. So once the ball's dead, then my job's done. But and even being like, if I get double coverage, I'm being a decoy, trying to pull like safeties and DBs away and stuff. So I don't mind being that guy who uses, like, who knows he's a threat and like take away a couple guys so that my other guys can get open. I did it plenty of times for Sam Snay, a receiver for us at UNI, and then a couple other guys too, though. But I being a selfless player is being a great teammate, blocking for your teammates, doing everything you can so that your teammates can also produce for the team and give them a best shot to go out there and do their work.
We're going to close on that, because that was the perfect explanation of being a selfless wide receiver. So I appreciate you coming on, Isaiah. Ladies and gentlemen, Isaiah Weston, Northern Iowa wide receiver. He could do it all. You heard what he said. I appreciate you coming on, and we'll definitely keep in touch, man. I want to see how this process works for you.
No, I appreciate it, Teron. Appreciate you having me on here.
No doubt.
This is Jefferson. I'm talking with TD.
Back from the break, talking with TD. You hear that music? Big Papa. We'll always love Big Papa. Well, I mean, our next guest is one of the guys that plays a position where they go by the name Big Papa. He doesn't do it personally, but the offensive lineman, whenever you're talking about the O-line, you bring up Big Papa. This is a guy that, man, he has a nasty style of football, and it's fun to watch him. We're going to bring in Tulsa offensive lineman Tyler Smith. Tyler, what's good, man?
Not much. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
No problem. And I mentioned just right from the jump, right, just how you're fun to watch. The thing that's fun to watch about you is I mean, like, you play football like you are perennially pissed off, man. So I guess we could start there. What is it that gives you that mindset to play the game with that level of tenacity and nastiness that you bring?
I mean, for sure, it's part of who I am as a player. Starting out, I didn't always play O-line. I used to play D-line until my junior year of high school. So a lot of that physicality and aggression that you see just kind of comes from not or playing a different position. But, you know, a lot of it is me as well, for sure.
And, I mean, just in talking to you, you seem like you're, you know, a very mild-mannered person, a calm person off the field. But, again, as I mentioned, when you get on the field, it's a different story. What is it about you to let you flip that switch and be able to turn it on and be that guy out there?
I mean, for sure, part of that is just me being a true competitor. You know, off the field, like, you know, we can laugh, we can joke, like, lots of friends around. But when I get on there, you know, it's business time. Like, I definitely say, you know, I bring a different mindset to the game when I'm on the field than I do outside of it.
Is there ever a chip on your shoulder just as far as looking at this situation, right? You're a guy at Tulsa University, right? And you're going to the league. Is there a chip on your shoulder just being from a non-Power 5 school?
I mean, I definitely say I've had a chip on my shoulder since I came out of high school, you know, like come out of high school, you know, I went to Tulsa, the prestigious, highly acclaimed, and, you know, I'm grateful for that, mm-hmm. for sure. But, you know, a lot of schools passed me up. A lot of schools kind of disrespected me during the process, I have felt like. So I've always had a chip on my shoulder when it comes to competing against, you know, players across the country or teams across the country, because I know at the end of the day I can play with anybody, and I'm just as blessed as anybody else. But, yeah, I definitely say I carry that with me.
Do you ever find yourself, like, having to harness and channel that so that it doesn't lead to extracurricular stuff on the field?
It's not the biggest issue, you know, as an old lineman, like we're extremely disciplined, like, for sure. Like there are some times when, you know, I get into a physical mindset or an aggressive mindset, but, you know, yeah, I do kind of like, you know, I make sure I'm always locked in what the goal is for our team, like what we trying to do to win the game, like to make sure I'm not taken away from that or anything like that.
No doubt. And how important do you take that whole process of just having to protect the quarterback? Because I like how, you know, the whole thing evolved for you to become an offensive lineman. You had a quarterback your sophomore year. He had a spinal injury. They came to you. They said, hey, look, you know, we want you to play the offensive line. And you said from that point on, you got that protector mindset going forward. How important is it for you just to, you know, just be that guardian for the quarterback?
I mean, that's huge for me as a player. Like, you know, it's an honor to kind of be, you know, trusted enough to, like, you know, protect the quarterback. At the end of the day, like, that's the money position on the field. That's going to be the highest paid man. And, like, at the same time, he's a person just like you. You know, a lot of what he does off the field or on it is depending on how well you do your job. Because, you know, every quarterback in this game only has a certain amount of hits they can take before their career is over. Mm-hmm. And so just for me to be able to, you know, step up, and, like, have my coaches trust in me to, like, you know, make the change and, like, be that protector for my quarterback. That was huge for me as a player. It's something I take pride in.
You played guard and tackle in high school. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And then even now, you know, you talk to scouts, personnel people, they say guard or tackle for you. I've seen different projections. Being able to juggle that back and forth, I mean, where do you see yourself at the next level?
I mean, that's a difficult question for sure. You know, at the end of the day, you'll get asked the question a lot, you know, like, where do you see yourself or what would you like to play? Like, I myself, you know, I played tackle the majority of my years, but the position I play is still technically, like, offensive line. Like, so, you know, I practice and I go into my training with the mindset that they can stick me potentially anywhere on the ball and I'll just have to be ready whenever my name is called. And that's kind of how I go about that for sure.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Tulsa offensive lineman Tyler Smith. Tyler, what you say is very similar. There's a guy named Nate Davis who came out of Charlotte who plays for the Titans now. And he had that same type of mindset where he was a guy, he played tackle at Charlotte. Then they bumped him to right guard when the Titans selected him. So I like how you mentioned that. But one thing that we do have to make clear, there is a difference, right, between playing on the outside and playing in that phone booth. Can you kind of let the listeners know just, like, how different that is and just the different things you have to go through at both positions?
I mean, yeah, I can give a little bit of, like, in-depth analysis. I'd definitely say at guard, you got to be able to react a little bit quicker, like, when you're in the phone booth, like you said. There's a lot more of the game, like, becomes lateral. Like, it's a lot more reactive than it would be at offensive tackle. Like, you kind of got, like, two jobs at the same time. You got to check with your center. You got to check with your tackle, just depending on what team you're on, kind of how they move you around. You got to make sure, like, you doing your job, you're getting to who you're supposed to go to, but it still is a little bit slower from the standpoint that you got more help inside. Whereas I say at tackle, like, it's a little bit more of a – You kind of got to be a little bit more faster, I say, like, because, you know, you're going against the fastest pass rushers on the field. Mm-hmm. You're going to be expected to, like, make a lot more of those, like, outside zone reaches, like a lot of those backside reaches, like things of that nature. So you got to be quick on your toes, or you got to be pretty twitchy, elite, like all that stuff. Like, but at the same time, there are difficulties with each position that, like, you got to kind of just kind of be ready for and train yourself for sure.
What is it about your skill set that allows you to do both pretty well?
I mean, for me, like, you know, I'm blessed enough to be a really gifted athlete. I'm a pretty big guy at the same time. Like, I carry it well. Like, I'm explosive. Like, I just play both positions. Like I had in high school, I was able to play guard and tackle, kind of get a feel for both of them for sure. Like, just due to, like, some personnel depth issues. But just being able to play both of them, just kind of knowing what the job is, and even understanding what a tackle is doing, like, just from playing tackle can help you understand how to play guard better. Because you know what to expect. Like, you know kind of, like, what your tackle next to you kind of, like, is expecting from you. Like, are you doubling? Are you going to – you doubling to a backer, or are you in pass pro? Like, you know what you're supposed to – like, what you need to accomplish and how you can do it better, if that almost makes sense.
No doubt. And just to kind of piggyback off of the athlete part of it that you mentioned, I mean, coming out of the combine, you were one of the guys that everyone was talking about because of your performance there. So that's absolutely true, you know, the athletic part of it. I like that. Then you mix in the mental part. That's really good. When you look at, you know, your past, you know, having played a defensive lineman, like coming up through the ranks, were there any players that you watched defensive lineman-wise or just overall?
Like in the NFL?
Yes, or in the NFL. Like, I know you're a Saints fan, but I mean, like, you know, were there any players in particular?
Man, where do I start? I say J.J. Watt for sure. Like, when I was growing up, that's when they kind of started releasing, like, E60. And, like, I remember J.J. Watt's E60 that came out. And, like, at that point in time in my career, I was playing D-line. That's kind of who I wanted to be. Like, that's kind of who I was inventing myself around. Like, mind you, I wasn't even, like, that tall yet. But, like, just how elite he was in the game, like, physically, technically. Like, he was the most dominant player in football at that point. I watched Justin Tuck as well when he was with the Giants. Like, he was a beast, man. And Ndamukong Suh, when he was on the Lions, I felt like that was kind of, like, in terms of, like, the mindset you should bring to D-line, I felt like he was perfect. Like, even though people didn't like him, thought he was a dirty player, I didn't think that was true necessarily. He was just, you know, he was bringing that chip on his shoulder to the game. Like, even though he was a highly touted recruit and all that, like, he was going to let you know that he was there and, like, he wasn't going to change who he was. So those were, like, some of the biggest ones that I watched for sure.
That's
Warren Sapp was a beast. Oh, my God.
Sweet feet, yeah. Man. That big man has some sweet feet. Absolutely. So he was, like, really quick on him, you know, and he used to use that to win along with his hands. So, yeah, Warren Sapp for real was that dude. For you, offensive lineman-wise, you know, because here's the thing, right? Your position is one that, unless you really know what you're looking for, like, you can't really tell if a guy is playing well, or you can't really, you know, give a guy a particular style, so to speak. Who are some guys in the league, like, for the listeners, if they say, you know, what type of player is this guy? Who are some guards or tackles in the league that you would say, you know, exemplify just what you bring to the table?
I definitely try to model my game kind of like, I say after Trent Williams, like, he's probably my favorite O-lineman to watch, like, in terms of how he does things. Like, when you watch him, a lot of O-line coaches, like, it's impossible for them to kind of even coach what he does because he's so gifted, like, instinctual, and, like, his talent, like, and just, like, his feel for the game is so high, he's able to just, like, do things that other players wouldn't do or think to do. Like, and that's kind of what I try to bring to the game. It's like, you know, I understand as players, like, we have to be coachable and, like, you have to take coaching as well. But you got to be smart enough to kind of understand what works for you and what doesn't work for you as well. And, like, the more you're able to kind of tailor your game to that, like, your strengths and weaknesses, I feel like the better player you're going to be. And, like, I feel like Trent just exemplifies that well, like, in terms of that. I like Tyron Smith as well. He plays for the Dallas Cowboys. Like, just the strength he plays with, like, how he plays with no wasted movement, like, out of his kicks, like, how he really plays. Like, he plays positions, like, in pass pro so well. Like, he'll beat a defender to a spot and just completely shut them down because it's like he already saw where they were trying to go pre-snap. Like, stuff like that. Just how cerebral he is and how strong his arms are, how strong his grip is. Like, that's something I try to utilize in my game, too, because I know, like, that's a – like, my arms and my grip is a big part of my game as well. But you can always get better. And that's kind of like what you how you can kind of see ways you can get better as watching players like that and kind of how they go, like, on a week-to-week basis. But definitely those two for sure are just some of them.
No doubt. The Trent Williams mention is really interesting to me because in one of the games of yours, the SMU game, I remember they pulled you, like you went across the formation, and you turned up, and you blew up this poor defensive back, man. It was just the same as how they've used Trent Williams. You mentioned how you could always get better. So let's look at that just from a technique standpoint. I know there's some things that you would like to get better. What are some areas of improvement for you that will allow you to, get to that all-pro level that you're capable of being at the NFL?
I'd definitely say just early on, like right now, like my biggest focus is going to be working on hands.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've been doing a lot of that throughout the process. Like I've been blessed enough to have like great, great position coaches. And like Marcus Cannon, like he plays for the Texans now. He's come out and done a lot of work with
nice.
Me. And then Torian Wilson down where I was training in Bomberitos in Florida, like he's done a lot of great work with me too. But just making sure, like, you know, I'm using my hands, like, in pass pro. That's, like, going to be the biggest thing. Make sure I'm getting them inside in the run game. Like, stuff like that. Like, when I kick, like, making sure my shoulders stay square. Like, being really consistent in my kicks. Like, ensuring that, like, my toes stay on the ground. I'm playing with feet in the ground and good traction and leverage. Like, that's all going to be, like, huge stuff when you get to the league. Because when you're there, like, especially if you play tackle or whatever the case may be, like you'll be going against some of the best pass rushers in the world, and they're keying in on small stuff like, you know, how does this guy's toe flare up when he kicks out of his stand? Is his toe on the ground? Is his toe coming up?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they're reading that. Like, they're adding it. Like, they're going to try to test you. So just, like, working on that, making sure I'm tight with my hands, that I'm, like, stopping pass rushers, guiding defenders, like, making sure that I'm getting power converted on that second step. Like, that's going to be huge for sure.
You had to use your hands, and you did a good job of that in the Cincinnati game going against Myjai Sanders. I thought that was, a really good matchup, one of my favorite games of yours. In addition to the Oklahoma State game, there was one I remember. You caught a body. You caught two bodies in one play. This dude really is nasty. So what would you say are the best two games for people to watch of yours in your career?
Best two games in my whole career. Man, I love 2020 Cincinnati, the championship game. Like, there was a lot of emotions involved in that game. I love that game. So I definitely say that one. And then, man, it's really tough. But for 2022, I like Cincinnati. Like, that was a really back and forth game. Like, there was a lot of high competition in that game for sure. But I like that one too because they were ranked number three or number four, whatever it was, and that was just a huge game for us. I also say you can interchange that with Ohio State if you want.
Yeah, and I have Ohio State marked down in my book right here because there were some good plays. You did a good job picking up stunts. You know, I like the way you guys would come back, you bump hips, and you fan out. You know, that was a good thing. You guys did that well against a pretty solid line in Ohio State. Last thing, Tyler. The Tennessee Titans, this is obviously the team that I cover. That's the focus of this show. What would the Titans get if they drafted you at number 26? Because you are getting first-round mentions now, you know what I mean? So we will put that in there, that you've elevated yourself into that first-round category. What would they get if they get you at 26?
I mean, I'd definitely say, like, they don't get the best of me. Like, they don't get everything I have to bring to the table. Like, they don't get a dude who they never got to worry about coming to the building, like, being on 110% every day. Like, at the end of the day, like, we're trying to win Super Bowls. Like, that's what I want to happen. Like, I want to come in there, you know, do my job. Like, when my number's called, whenever it may be, it could be the first day, it could be whenever. Like, I will be ready, like, to do everything I need to do in order for the team to win. Like, and just bring that, you know, for my family because, you know, I'm a reflection of my name. Like, at the end of the day, you are your work ethic. You are part of your, like, that's part of your integrity. And that's kind of what I want to carry myself with and bring to the organization for sure.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Tyler Smith, Tulsa offensive lineman. He can play guard or tackle. Maybe even in a pinch, you need him at defensive line. He could go back to his high school days in that aspect too. Tyler, I appreciate you coming on, man.
No problem. I appreciate you having me.
For sure. So that was Tulsa offensive lineman Tyler Smith. I love how he got into just, you know, what it is that makes him play with such a nasty disposition. If you watch him, you'll definitely see exactly what I'm talking about. First round talent. He'll probably be going in that first round, maybe there for when the Titans pick. We'll see. But shout out to Tyler Smith. Shout out to Isaiah Weston, man. You know, now you get to put a voice to the receiver that I'm always talking about. And definitely a good opportunity to talk shop with him. And we got Chris Sanders on. Hey, man, we just keep this thing rolling. Appreciate Elijah Campbell making this thing happen. And, man, appreciate each of you for tuning in. Definitely make sure you stay in check with what we have going here at thegamenashville.com. Also, ESPN.com. Click on the team NFL page, then the team. Click the Titans. Hit that follow button if you haven't done it yet. And as for Talking with TD, searching on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, all of your outlets. First, subscribe, then rate, review. We appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. God bless and good night.